And now your speaker is Keith Young.
Every one of us faces adversity. Every one of us goes through trials and tribulations. Every one of us has our thorns in the flesh that we must endure. In fact, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. And we read about Paul speaking of his thorn in the flesh. If you would read these verses with me. Let's begin in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it would depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in the infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul was a tremendous servant of God. All that he had done in taking the gospel throughout this whole world to help people understand about the wonders of the gospel. How many people had he been able to perform miracles for to be able to help them to get away from their infirmities, to get away from their ailments? But here he is. He's going through this thorn in the flesh. He's suffering. And he prays three times. This is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. The man who wore out countless sandals walking to get to the people just to present the gospel of Christ to them. And he prayed for the removal of this thorn in the flesh. And the Lord answered him, but probably not in the way that he wanted him to at first. Yet Paul's answer from the Lord is an answer to us. When we go through infirmities, when we go through suffering, when we go through hardships, we look at our lives and we must realize that it is more than just this flesh. It is more than this just this body. And though Paul was going through these different ailments, going through what he called a thorn in the flesh, that he wanted to be relieved so badly that he prayed three times that it would be removed from him, he came to realize that what the Lord has to offer and what the Lord gives, even in those hardships, that those things are inconsequential compared to what we have given to us. Brethren, this life is a place where we will suffer. It is a place where we're going to have to go through many trials and tribulations, where we're going to have to endure many things. But I hope that this helps us as we look at this passage of Scripture today to always realize that there is a God in heaven who loves us, who's there for us. And that though we may have to endure many things, there's nothing of this life that is worth the loss of our souls. And that what He offers is always greater than anything that we will have to endure. You go back and you look at verses 5 through 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Add verse 5 with what we read just a minute ago. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul understood what it meant to be humble. God's grace helps us to be humble because we realize what is truly important in this life. We realize that those things that we must endure, that yes, they affect us. Yes, they're hard as we're going through them. But when we look big picture, when we really see what's truly important and realize what God has blessed us with and realize that this is just for a short time and then eternity comes and there will be no pain. There will be no heartache. There will be no tears. That what Christ gives us is so much greater than anything that we have to endure. Paul was a great servant of Jesus Christ. But it was not about Paul. It was about his message. All the wonderful things Paul did, he didn't save one soul. It was always the gospel. And Paul knew this. Paul understood that the power was in Christ and the blood that he shed and in the message that he gave to us to take to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us." What's that mean? We have it in flesh. Flesh that's going to end. Flesh that gets sick. Flesh that goes through hardships. Flesh that has to endure many different difficulties. But the gospel is beyond that. The gospel is our window of salvation. It is that which shows us the next life and what is promised to us and what is beyond the life that we now have to endure. His infirmities helped Paul and others realize that the power is not of man, but it's of God. That body couldn't have done anything except for that gospel that was with it. That message of Christ. In fact, to help us understand that a little bit more, if you would open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 has the many good verses about unity there, but also verses that help us understand where the power is. You know, brethren, it's not about the person presenting the gospel. It's always about the gospel. It's not about the person presenting the plan of salvation. It's always about the plan of salvation. It is Christ and His message that gives the power, Romans 1 and verse 16. And we always need to appreciate and remember where truly the power is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's begin with verse 13. "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" If Paul had been crucified for them, there had been no forgiveness of sins. He wasn't the perfect sacrifice. He wasn't the one that could bring salvation. Now, could he bring the message of salvation? Yes. Could he bring a message that would, when listened and obeyed, would save souls? Of course. But the power is in Christ. Notice here, at the very end of the verse, it says, "Were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" You know, Paul's baptism wouldn't have mattered. It doesn't matter who does the baptism. It matters what you are doing in the baptism. The contact with the blood of Christ that forgives us of our sins, that washes them away, that takes them out. It's not about a person applying the baptism. It's about the baptism being done and the person who gave his life for that blood to be there for us. Go on to verse 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Go on with me to verses 23 and 24. "For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." There's the power. Whatever we're facing in this life, whatever we have to endure, there's not one thing that we will face that can take away salvation from us if we don't let it. Christ has put it right there for us. He has presented salvation in His death on that cross. He shed His blood. He made sure we have the perfect message in the Bible that it would be shown to us. And it is there in such a way that no one can take it from us unless we let them. In James 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We're not promised any more than what we already have. I'm not promised the next breath. Neither are you. Every day is a blessing, brethren. Every day we should thank our Lord, even if it is such that we wake up sore, that we had the ability to do what it took to be sore. If we wake up even in pain, we must realize that we have the ability to wake up. There are some who did not. And that we are blessed. My Lord has blessed me so greatly, just like He has you. And even though you have to go through hardships and endure problems. Don't miss the blessings that are there too. Take time to count the wonderful blessings that God has put in your life. And brethren, it's an amazing thing to consider that you have a prayer life with the Lord, that He listens to you, and that you know He is there. Every day I live by the grace of God. It is a gift that He gives to each of us that we need to appreciate. In James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth even for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." We aren't living with a promise of the time that we will be on this earth. We're not like Hezekiah, where he was promised 15 more years. We don't know how long we'll be on this earth. We don't know if we'll make it till this night. We don't know if we'll make it to the next morning. We don't know if we'll make it through the next year. I think of the tragedies of this last week and that precious child of 11 who had gone to the amusement park in New Jersey, and she was just having fun. She was being rewarded for having good grades. And then she fell out of the Ferris wheel and her life was over. Such a tragedy. What about that little boy in Arizona? He was just playing a game of baseball, a game that I loved as a child, and many of you did as well, I'm sure. And he was playing a game and a freak accident happened and the ball hit him in the heart. And he didn't make it all the way to first base before he collapsed. And he didn't know that he would live less than a day on this earth from the time that he started to bat. We don't know how long we're going to be on this earth. We need to make sure that our priorities are God's priorities for us. That we are focused where He wants us to be. That we realize, just like Paul did when it was said to him by Jesus, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Paul realized, whatever else might be going in my life, as long as Christ has blessed me and I have His promise of salvation and I am His follower and the God the Father is my Father, that I'm blessed, and no matter what else I face, I'm ready to endure it, because those blessings God gives is always greater than anything that I have to go through. In verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn that God's grace helps us to trust Him and build our faith. We must realize that God is always there for us. He may not answer us directly as He did, and He won't directly in that fashion as He did with Paul, but He does answer us straight from His Bible. If we allow that Bible to show us the answers that we need, just maybe it won't be the answer that we always want, the answer that we always desire. Paul was answered, but not the way that he wanted, but he came to realize that it was the way that he needed. This is what he needed in his life. He realized that that grace that God's Son offered to him was greater than anything that he had to endure. He knew that God knew that Paul could handle this because He had always provided a way of escape for him to help him no matter what the situation was. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we read, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." God always makes sure it's not greater than what we can handle. Now, sometimes we wish God didn't trust us so much. Sometimes we don't have as much confidence in ourselves as God does, but we can always get beyond what is asked of us, what we must face in trials and temptations, if we would but lean on God and let Him help us in those situations. Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that God also knows the path that would lead to Paul being the very best servant possible, and He knows the path that will lead to us being the very best servants possible as well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God knows the very best way possible for us. And sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and they make us stronger. They make us better servants. They make us better able to endure and realize what we must face in this life and help others. Brethren, you wouldn't believe all the people who have gone through great sufferings that have come to me and been an encouragement to me. Even the fact that those the Lord gave us in the Bible, such as Paul, such as Job, these great men and what they had to face helps me to understand what a man such as me must face as well. We must learn to trust God and realize the need for our infirmities that will best help us to serve Him. That sometimes we can take the worst situations and use them to help us become better Christians. In Colossians 3 and verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Whatever it is that we must endure, whatever it is that we must face, if we will do it with Christ, we will glorify Him and we will be better ourselves. Are we ready to serve no matter the situation? Are we like Paul? When the Lord presents so much to us that when we have to endure certain things, we're not going to let them stop us because we realize the blessings of God are so much greater than the things that we have to face. The grace that we have received. Paul understood more about his relationships with God through his infirmities. We should as well. We should use those as opportunities to help us to realize the frailties of this life. To help us to realize what we have with us in the people who are around us and what we have when we can lean upon God. We are truly blessed. I've seen God's grace in my life. The grace of having God to strengthen me. Realizing that I can't do things without God that I can with Him. The grace of having God's family who are there praying for me and asking me and encouraging me and being there for me at all times, brethren. We don't realize what a strength we are to others so many times until we're put into that situation ourselves. And I thank you so much for all that you've done for my family. The grace of truly understanding priority in life. Realizing that a job, realizing that health, realizing that whatever it is we have to face, brethren, they're not more important than our relationship with God. That's an essential fact that we must all know. In the grace of each breath. Realizing that every time our bodies take a breath, it is a wonderful blessing of God. And that it is such that we are so blessed that our Lord allows us to live another moment and to be able to be His child on top of that, brethren. What a blessed people we are. But maybe you're here this morning and you're not following through with the blessings that God gives. Maybe you haven't taken advantage of becoming His child and therefore, you know, you got this wonderful life that He's given to us, but yet you're missing the very best part. You're missing the great wonder that is being a Christian and having that salvation promise. The very best is on the other side of eternity. Why not be His child? Knowing that He died on that cross for you. Repent of your sins. Confess and be baptized today. And start a life dedicated to Him as He has dedicated that life that He lived on this earth to saving your soul. If you are a Christian and you've lost your way, then I hope today that you've considered the blessings that God gives. Realize the greatest blessing there could ever be is the salvation of your soul. And repent of those sins and come.